Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed be His holy name. I'd like to take the time right now to welcome everyone here in the house of God, and also you right now watching. Welcome to this evening live stream. I go by Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. Once again, welcome. It's great to be in the house of God. It's always wonderful to come and fellowship with one another, to hear the word, to be sanctified by the word of the Lord, to enjoy each other's company as brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's what we're going to do in eternity, right? We're going to be spending time with each other and the Lord for eternity. So we bless His holy name for the blessing that is fellowship. Praise God. I have something dear to my heart that I want to talk about this evening. It is a particular topic that I enjoy. And God willing, I would like to speak about this particular topic for a little while. Maybe the next two or three Wednesdays, if the Lord will. It's something that I've been wanting to share for a while, and I got the okay for me to start potentially a series today. And that is the topic of faith. I believe that the Lord has something for us here, starting this evening. I believe that the Lord has something for you that's watching right now online specifically. And we're getting ready to move into a phase right now at BCFC to where as though we will need to practice some serious faith. And I honestly believe that the Lord right now is prepping us to be able to go into the next stage of our mission here in the house of God. So without any further ado, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Please bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, as we always say, we love you. We love you so much. Thank you so much, Lord, for the wonderful worship that we had this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your ministering angels. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence in this place. And I thank you, Lord, for all the signs and wonders and miracles, Lord, that still happen in this establishment through the saints, Lord, for the honor and glory of your name. And Lord, as we read your word this evening and as we study your word, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come and minister to us, Lord, in a profound, special way. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that I have to share the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that all the honor and glory and praise be yours and yours alone. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I had to hold myself back this evening from really going down to the nitty-gritty. And right when I was getting ready to put down about 20 scriptures for tonight, I came to myself and I said, that might not be a good idea because people are going to forget most of tonight's teaching and I really wouldn't want that. So I had to put a cap on it and I'm really looking forward for me to share this next week. Again, if the Lord will, He might change things around and that's okay. Whatever He wants, that's what goes. But for starters, I want to start out with a very common verse that's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1. And I wanted to walk down the trail of Hebrews 11, which is a faith chapter, speaks about faith. And I might leave it for next Wednesday. But right now, we're just going to start out skimming along the top, and we're going to start with verses 1. So may I have that, please? Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 1, which says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'll confess to you that for the last, 3 weeks, I have been meditating on Hebrews 11:1. and trying to understand word by word what this particular verse means. And what the author is trying to say to the reader, but most importantly, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church as far as this verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And before I get too far ahead of myself, I do want to say something real quick right now before we get any further, and that we must be careful on the part where it says hope. Because a lot of times when we pray for something, we are hoping that the Lord will answer our prayer. We are hoping that He will listen. We are hoping that something is going to happen. Sort of like you get, let's just say, a roll of toilet paper, right? You pull some toilet paper, pull, you bundle it up and you get it wet, right? Gets it nice and sticky, and then you throw it and you close your eyes and you hope that it sticks to the wall, right? Is it going to stick? Is it going to fall? Is it going to... Right? You throw it and then you close your eyes. I mean, I'm sorry for the analogy right now, but you're using toilet paper, but I can't think of anything else on the fly right now. I'm sorry. I'm not following a script here. But you do something and then you close your eyes and then you hope that something, a reaction is going to happen. And I'm here to say that that does not please God. I'm not calling that faith. However, there must be an element of hope also in this faith. And this is why I believe that the verse continues by saying, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence. There is concrete evidence, no doubt whatsoever. This is what the Lord says. This is what I believe. And because I believe wholeheartedly in this, that is my faith. I have my hopes in God. I have my hopes in the Lord. My hope is on Him. My trust is on Him. And therefore, I have concrete evidence based on the Word of the Lord, which we're going to speak about the Word of the Lord in just a moment. According to His perfect will, and I know what His will is, by His word, I believe. And because I believe, I have faith. Now, I also truly believe that understanding this verse is essential to deriving the rest of this chapter, to understanding everything else that the Word of God says here in Hebrews chapter 11. And starting in verses 1 right now, it establishes a good practical definition of what faith is supposed to be. But it is not the only one, as we're going to find out here within the next couple of weeks or so, and also this evening, since the Bible uses the term faith in several different ways. The Bible uses the term faith in so many different contexts. And we have to be thinking, as we read, or we may get the idea about faith, something completely different than what our God intends for us to understand. And oftentimes when we read this through the Bible, it also connects with the context that is being used, the context where faith is being used. For example, I want to show you right now Galatians chapter 1, verses 23. It uses the word faith, but listen to its context. Galatians 1, 23, please. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Right now, this is a different context. The context with preaching faith as used in a religious way, right here means a confession, and thus a creed, a body of religious beliefs, or a statement of the principle of one's way of life. We see this in different denominations. We see this in different groups. Some people truly, truly believe that they ought to observe a Saturday instead of a Sunday. You know, that's their faith. I wholeheartedly respect that, 100%. I don't speak bad about those brothers and sisters. There is, of course, the Messianic Jews. They like to worship on a Saturday, right? Praise the Lord for their lives. Blessed be the name of God, by all means. That is their faith. This is a body of religious beliefs. Now, the New Testament often uses faith in this manner. And its usage on Jude 1:3 is similar, but also a bit clearer. As a body of beliefs to which we must cling steadfastly and apply it to every single challenge that we have in our lives. Because believe me when I say, we are going to face challenges in our lives. 100%. We're not exempt from challenges and difficulties. Let me please have Jude 3. And it says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Right here, contend earnestly is what I got stuck on. We're not saying necessarily stuck, is what I focused my attention on. For us to earnestly hold on to what we have been taught. Hold on to the faith, the pure, unadulterated faith. And in the context of Jude here 3, it speaks about men at that time when this was written, of false teachers, false prophets going around and teaching something other than the Word of God. Unfortunately, very unfortunately, right now in the times that we live in, the same thing still goes on, especially on the online services, on these preachers that primarily are television speakers and people that are trying to sell materials and sell so many things. And it's very, very unfortunate of different doctrines that have been established, and some of them that I'm completely against. Right now, Jude is saying, hold on earnestly to the faith that we have in the Lord. And moving on to John chapter 20, verses 29, the apostle relates this. It says, "Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Right? Now, this speaks about a different type of faith. A faith right now that is completely different from right now, from that time to right now. Here, our Lord Jesus, with our Lord Jesus as faith's object, believing indicates a personal trust or confidence in the Lord Jesus. Now, in relation to this right now we talk about something miraculous in your life. It's very beautiful when people come to the Lord through a miracle. For example, when the Lord heals someone, an unbeliever, heals them from an incurable disease, and now there's no way that there's denying of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just had an encounter with God. But they weren't a Christian. The Lord does this. The Lord doesn't just heal Christian folks, you know. We know this, right? He heals everybody. Especially the conversation I've had with our elder brother, Silso, here. As he teaches, when he preaches and teaches on faith and healing and all of this, one thing that I've heard you say several times is, the Lord didn't just heal Christian people or the believers. He primarily went to every single person and healed them, no matter who they were. Every single person. But now, our Lord Jesus is not walking the streets. Our Lord Jesus is not in the flesh, right? He is in heaven. He's spirit. His Holy Spirit is here with us on earth. But now when you have a personal encounter with the Lord, now there's no denying, right, of our Lord Jesus. That is a spectacular faith. That is awesome faith. And now the Apostle Paul, in Romans 3:22, puts it in a slightly different light. May I have that, please? Romans 3:22. And the word of the Lord says, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Here, in a legal context, it indicates a level of personal confidence or trust in what our Lord did as a means of justification and therefore direct access to God Himself. And I would like to break down this verse a little bit further. In the previous verse, in verses 21, it told us that this righteous salvation is not obtained on the basis of law-keeping. Now, the apostle tells us how it is obtained right now in verses 22. And the way that that's obtained is, quote, through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith here means utter reliance on the living Lord Jesus Christ as one's only Savior from sin and one's only hope to ever make it to heaven right now as faith is being used. It is based on the revelation of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ as found in the Word of God. It makes me very happy to know that in places like in jail, in penitentiary, a lot of times in hotels, you will find like a Gideon Bible, right? Very popular. I know people who are in jail right now as we speak, a couple of people who are close to me who are reading the Bible on a daily basis. And I praise the Lord for that because I know for a fact that these people are different right now than when before they went to jail, simply because they open up the Bible and they read it on a daily basis. They don't have access to TV, they're not watching live stream, they're not going to a church service, like in a congregation setting. Some of these jails, they do have like these ministries, jail ministries, and there are some people who are led to become like some sort of leader, like minister, to minister a couple people to like a prayer meeting and such. But right now, based on the verse that we just finished reading, this is based on a revelation of the person Jesus Christ and everything that He did found in the Word of God, the Bible. And faith is not a leap in the dark. Let's understand that right away. This is not what faith is. It demands the surest evidence and finds it in the unforsaken, infallible Word of God. And truly understanding this, faith is not illogical. Faith is not unreasonable. And what is more reasonable, what is more reasonable than that the creature should trust the Creator? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? What is more reasonable than me, I'll just say Pastor Teddy, myself, having full 100% trust in my God, in my Maker, the person who made this body, the person who's given me life? And how do I know this? I know this by reading the Word of God, right? This is why reading the Word and studying the Word and understanding the Word of God causes us to have faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Something else that I want to say about this is that faith is not praiseworthy or commendable, a commendable work by which a man earns or deserves salvation. A man cannot boast because he has believed in the Lord. He would be foolish, as a matter of fact, he would be foolish not to believe in God, not to believe in the Lord. Faith is not an attempt to earn salvation, but it is the simple acceptance of the salvation which God offers to every single one of us as a free gift. Paul goes on to tell us that this salvation is, quote, to all and on all who believe. It is to all in the sense that it is available to every single person, no matter who you are, and also offered to all and sufficient to every single person. But it is only on those who believe. Only for those who believe. That is, its effect is only on the lives of those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ by a definite act of faith. You proclaim with your mouth, you say that Jesus Christ is Lord, you ask Him to come into your heart with all sincerity, and this is when it starts. The pardon is all there for you. But it becomes valid in an individual's life only when he accepts this. Only when they accept this faith, this belief, this trust. And when Paul says that salvation is available to all, he includes the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Because now, here in the end of the Word, in the end of the Word of God, it says, for there is no difference. At the very end, in the beginning, it says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. That's you and I. For there is no difference in person. There is no difference in group of people, the color of your skin, your nationality, your background, what you have been going through. No, none whatsoever. The Jews have no special privileges right here, and the Gentiles also have no advantage per se. It's for every single person, everyone. Now, I want to bring your attention right now to Romans chapter 10, verses 17, which imparts a vital understanding on how faith in God becomes part of our thinking and part of the way that we act, part of our conduct. And it says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? I love this verse. I absolutely love this verse. It seems like now things are getting clearer and clearer. Faith becomes an element of our thinking by our hearing words that concern the object of faith. Our Father in heaven, for example. His Son, Jesus Christ, an example. How about their message to every single one of us? The gospel of the kingdom of God. When we read the words that are found by our Lord Jesus, you read them in red. When we read about the prophets and the men and women of God, how they overcame, how they were victorious, the miraculous things, the supernatural things. When we study that, when we read, when we think about and study and meditate as we read, that generates faith in us. Now, interestingly, if you ever stop to just check out, to just notice, Paul emphasizes hearing rather than merely reading, right? Faith. Though reading is included in the sense of hearing, right? And I'm not here to say that we should not read the Word of God. No, 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 no. That's how the Lord speaks to you, right? The Lord speaks to every single one of us through His Word. And when the Lord speaks to me, man, my faith level just shoots through the roof. When I receive a word of God from a prophet, from an apostle, from a minister, or whoever, I received the word of God from the most unlikely places. I have. And when it comes through, the Spirit witnesses in my heart of what just happened. But here, Paul is emphasizing the fact that we must be hearers of the Word of God, right? And that's how faith comes through. Our Lord Jesus describes in John chapter 6, verses 63, these words. He declares these words. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Amazing. Hearing, or more correctly, listening, is probably our Lord Jesus' most frequent and consistent exhortation during His ministry here on earth. And as the Holy Spirit continues to minister to us on a day-to-day basis, listening, hearing. I'm here to say that I put a lot of emphasis on that. When I sit down in the morning to study, or if I sit down like in the afternoon to study the Word of God, it's just like the dog right now that I'm temporarily taking care of, his ears go straight up like that. And it stays pointing up, just like that. I am listening. And sometimes I research the Word and I seek the Lord and I say, Lord, what do I talk about on the next service? What will I speak about? Show me, Lord. And I'm going through and I'm reading and I'm meditating and when I can't hear anything, I stop and I pray and I pray. But I'm listening. I'm trying to hear, right? Sometimes it comes just like that, and other times the Lord wants me to seek Him a little bit deeper. But ultimately, I'm looking to listen. I'm looking to hear the Spirit say right there, that verse, that topic, this and that. Hear His guidance. Hear His direction. What is the Spirit saying right now? And this is what, and I love when the Lord says, the words that I speak to you are spirit. It witnesses to your spirit, and they are life. It sustains me. It keeps me. It protects me. It rejuvenates me. Hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. Listening, to be more accurately, to what the Spirit is saying. Now, I want to conclude this evening by saying this. If we do not listen thoughtfully, we will not have faith in the right object. And I want you, and I left this for the very last, I left this in my conclusion, in my exit statement. If we do not listen thoughtfully, if we do not have our ears pinned up right now, we are not going to have faith in the right object. This is why it's extremely important for us to always be keen to the Spirit of God, listening to Him. Now, regardless of the context, faith always contains a mixture of believing, of knowing, of understanding, of trusting. And what I love the most is that sometimes it even has bold conviction. Faith. All locked together and pointed toward a specific object. And I love the bold conviction part. The unapologetic, bold, just honest belief in God. Not worrying about what anybody else is going to think or say, but sheer complete trust in God. Within the Bible, because right now I've been mentioning objects, and you might be thinking, Pastor, what do you mean by objects? Explain that real quick. I will. That object is almost always, speaking about the Bible right now, in the Bible context, it's almost always God, His Son Jesus Christ, the Word of God, or a messenger sent by God, whether it is an angel, a prophet, or a minister. Those things. The Lord can use a child. The Lord can use a minister, a deacon, an elder, an apostle. It does not matter. The Lord can send His angel to deliver a message to you. Or the Lord can speak to you directly, which is His favorite way, directly through His holy word. This is what I meant by object. These things. But we have to be keen to listen. Let us walk away with that this evening. Be always keen to listen. Open to what the Spirit is saying. Amen? Amen? Praise God. If the Lord will, I will continue a study on faith, which is the title to this evening's subject, a study on faith and how we can apply it to our daily life. Amen? Let's pray. Let's conclude. Lord, we love You. Lord, we bless Your holy name. Thank You, Lord, for Your holy word. Thank You, Lord, that our foundation, our faith, our belief stems from the word of God. And Lord, I particularly thank You that You speak to us, Lord, in a profound way through Your holy word. By the meditation of Your word, the study of Your word, I also thank You, Lord, that You speak to us when we pray. You speak to us, Lord, in our dreams. You speak to us, Lord, through other people used by you. Thank you, Lord, so much. And in all these things, Lord, may our faith increase on the daily basis, every single day. May our faith, Lord, grow stronger and grow stronger and stronger in you. Lord Jesus, we want to be just like you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit that witnesses, Lord, to us in our spirit, Lord, inside of us. Thank you so much. Lord, we love to say that we love you. And Lord, we will always love you for as long as we live. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.